Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-2130. That's 800-616-2130. 800-616-2130.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network, and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. The Republican Freedom Caucus in Congress derailing the repeal and replace of Obamacare. We'll learn about what the Freedom Caucus is all about, and we're going to be joined by a congressman from the Freedom Caucus who's taking on Washington from the inside, seeking to drain the swamp. All of that today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Congressman Ken Buck, Republican of Colorado, serves on the House Judiciary Committee and the Committee on Rules. He worked his way through high school, college, and law school as a janitor, truck driver, furniture mover, and ranch hand. After law school, Ken worked for Dick Cheney on the Iran-Contra investigation and then became a prosecutor with the U.S. Department of Justice, also serving as a district attorney in Colorado, also a business executive for a construction firm. His new book attacks business as usual in Washington, even attacking GOP business as usual. That book, Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. Welcome, Congressman. Honored to have you.
Thank you. It's great being with you.
The book is a gutsy indictment of Washington, particularly for someone who's now an insider. Let me just ask you first, the Freedom Caucus was instrumental in blocking of the Obamacare repeal and replace. And, you know, there's some folks that feel that the Freedom Caucus is too rigid. You know, they'll drive the bus right off the cliff. President Reagan might have said, get me 80% and I'll come back for more. Is that a misperception about the Freedom Caucus?
It absolutely is. I have to tell you, the bus is going off the cliff, and if we don't slam the brakes on right now, we're over the cliff. And so with $20 trillion of debt, it's hardly the Freedom Caucus's fault that we are in the position that we're in. But I think that the Freedom Caucus is very clear that we are all in favor of responsible programs, but we cannot have the federal government continue to run health care in America.
The bill itself, which the estimates were 24 million people would lose their health care or choose not to have it and might shred the safety net, cap Medicare spending. Was it a bad bill in and of itself that way, or did it not go far enough in your view?
I think we're going to see an improved bill that comes to the floor. The key from my perspective is that we return as much authority to the states to regulate the system. Mm-hmm. Each state in America is different, has different needs, and is able to spend a different percentage of its budget on health care. And I think it's important that the federal government get out of the way and allow states to make that determination. Some states will want a work requirement for Medicaid, and other states won't. And that's really up to the state to make that decision. But the state's going to have to balance the needs of transportation and K through 12 education and health care and others before they are able to make that determination. I think that the mistake we make is the one-size-fits-all plan from Washington, D.C. just doesn't fit everybody.
You said in the book, which I thought was a great point, that you wanted to see open debate on this, which there wasn't when Obamacare was jammed through the system. But then it ended up seeming like Speaker Ryan did exactly that. Are you critical of that?
I think that there's a misperception that this bill is the only health care debate that's going to occur. This is really the first step, and we will see a second step that the administration, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tom Price, will go through. And I think we'll see other bills and other debates and various oversight hearings on health care. So I think there will be more of an open process than we've seen so far. But because there will be no Democrat support for this bill in the House or Senate, we have to use budget reconciliation, and it's a very limiting way to try to pass legislation.
Okay. So hopefully tort reform, negotiating drug prices, crossing state lines, health savings accounts, all of that stuff will get addressed at some point. Now, you talk about this corruption being worse than we think. Tell us exactly what you mean.
Well, one of the things that I found when I first got to Congress was that there are dues for committees. So if you want to be on an A committee, like the Appropriations Committee, the Ways and Means Committee, the Energy and Commerce Committee, there's $450,000 of dues that you have to pay to the National Republican Congressional Committee, and the Democrats have the same structure on their side. So what happens is members oftentimes will hold receptions in Washington, D.C., invite lobbyists. Those lobbyists will write a check to the National Republican Congressional Committee, and then the member owes the lobbyist. There is a corrupting influence in that whole process. If you want to be a chairman of one of those committees, it costs $1.2 million. So it is really a pay-for-play system that I think one, it's bad optics, two, it's bad politics, and three, it's bad policy. I think we should change that. So I've written a letter to the Ethics Committee asking them to make it unethical for anyone to consider fundraising in the promotion to an A committee or to chairman.
I think that stuff stunned me. I knew nothing about it. How about one third of discretionary funding is unauthorized? What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, and I use the example in the book of the Endangered Species Act. We have an act that was passed in 1973. It had a 5-year sunset on it. If Congress did nothing else, the act would expire after 5 years. So members voted for it thinking, you know, we'll see what happens, and if it works, fine. If it doesn't work, it'll expire, won't require another vote. It was reauthorized once with another 5-year sunset, and has not been reauthorized since. So since 1984, the Endangered Species Act has not been reauthorized. It has received appropriations every single year. It has received funding every single year. So one-third, $500 billion of our discretionary budget is unauthorized, programs that should have sunset. Some of them are good programs. Some of them are absolutely necessary. But if Congress doesn't do its oversight and make sure that the programs are effective and efficient, then we have failed. And I think that's it would be a good policy just to say, do your oversight or these programs don't get appropriations.
In fact, the whole budgeting process, as you describe it, is kind of phony. These omnibus bills bypass essentially any oversight in the subcommittees, and the thing called the chairman's mark allows them basically to control what the budget is. There's $500 billion of user fees and fines that nobody knows where they go or anything. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, the last point that you make, I think, is a great point. When you go to a national park and you pay a fee to enter the national park, that fee doesn't necessarily go to the U.S. Treasury. Oftentimes, these fees and fines that agencies impose on private businesses and citizens will go into an agency account, and the agency then uses that money as it deems appropriate, and it doesn't have any oversight by Congress. Congress is supposed to, under the Constitution, have the power of the purse. If agencies are bypassing Congress by creating these separate accounts, then Congress has no authority over that agency.
Talking about lack of oversight, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Congress has no control over its purse strings, and it is tended to go after big targets that can pay big fines, as opposed to maybe who's behaving the worst. Do you have any comments on the CFPB?
Yeah, I do. I think it needs to be reformed. We certainly want to have a financial watchdog in the federal government and in state governments, but we don't want to have an out-of-control financial watchdog, and that's what the CFPB has become. The funding source is the Fed, and there is no oversight. The president appoints, but Congress doesn't confirm the director of the CFPB. So it really is a challenge to figure out how to bring that agency under control without the 60 votes in the Senate. But it's an absolutely necessary step to have more control over any agency in government.
We got about a minute to go in this segment. Is the Ex-Im Bank an example of crony capitalism that's supposed to be benefiting small business but really benefiting actually even a very few number of big businesses?
It absolutely is. The Ex-Im Bank is benefiting Boeing and General Electric and Caterpillar and a few large corporations, but it advertises itself as helping small business. But the taxpayers are on the line, just like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. If the loans go bad, the taxpayers have to pay, and that's a serious problem, and it's a problem we have to deal with and deal with it quickly.
You listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell on Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, listen over the internet, access our podcast. We're going to ask Congressman Buck how we drain the swamp in our next segment.
To America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Is getting a degree on your bucket list, but you've got a life, a job, family, stuff you can't put on hold to go back to school? Grantham University gets it. For over 65 years, Grantham's delivered affordable, relevant college and advanced degree programs to the men and women of our military. Let that sink in a moment. If they can deliver a quality education to a service member in a tent in Afghanistan, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. Grantham is accredited and 100% online, so they're built to be flexible to make sure you can fit an education into your already busy life. Call Grantham today to find out how easy it is to get started on your education and check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Grantham University. Flexible. Affordable. Relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-425-1023. That's 800-425-1023.
This is a commercial message.
If you're suffering from pain, especially back pain or knee pain, you can get relief with a back or knee brace at little to no cost to you. We are Complete Healthcare Services, and we have access to the nation's premier suppliers of high-end braces and pharmacy services. We can also evaluate your pain to get a clearer picture of your insurance coverage for free. Complete Healthcare Services can help you determine the safe and right medication for your pain. Call Complete Healthcare Services now and let us help you become pain-free so you can be active again. Experienced agents are available to help you day or night, and there are no age restrictions. Everything may be covered by your insurance, including Medicare plans, so there is little to no cost to you.
Call now and get free shipping. Plus, we'll include a set of heavy resistance bands to help improve your flexibility and endurance. Call 800-550-9851. 800-550-9851. 800-550-9851.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado, of the House Republican Freedom Caucus as well. And his book is talking about drain the swamp. So first off, Congressman, what is the single most important thing that has to get done to drain the swamp?
You know, I think we need a convention of the states. Under Article 5 of the Constitution, there are two ways of amending the Constitution. One, the method that we have used so far in our country's history, where language is proposed and passed by two-thirds of each House of Congress. It then goes to the states, and three-quarters of the states need to ratify that language. The other method that hasn't been used, but I think has to be used in this case, is that the states demand that Congress convene a convention of the states, and that the language is created at that convention, and then three-quarters of the states need to ratify that language. And I think the only way we get a balanced budget amendment passed and the only way we get term limits passed is by doing it through that method. I don't think that Congress will ever limit its own ability to spend money or the terms that members serve.
Do you think we have $20 trillion of debt, over $90 trillion of unfunded, if you include health care and Social Security? Do those numbers have to be attacked downward, or we just got to stop adding to it?
The challenge really is how to balance in the long run. We're not going to balance next year. It would be such a shift in our economy that it would cause great disruption.
Yep.
But we can balance in 10, 12 years. And by balancing over time, pay off that debt. The debt is a larger and larger portion of the budget, and it's going to squeeze out many of the essential programs that are in the budget right now.
Okay, how about getting rid of big money? There's a stat in your book that amazed me, that the lobbying spending is about $6 bucks, and it yields $4 trillion of benefits in various different ways. How do we get rid of big money?
That's a pretty good investment, isn't it?
Wouldn't you? Yeah, like that's a great investment.
Have that rate of return for your investments?
Yeah.
You know, it's a good question. We have a very well-defined First Amendment right in being able to donate money to candidates. I think there are two basic kinds of donations. One is an ideological donation, and the other is a transactional donation. On ideological donations, people donate money to Ken Buck for Congress because I stand up for their Second Amendment rights, or I believe in smaller government and lower taxes. And so they see those values, they see my voting record, and they support me for those principles that I hold. The other kind of donation, the transactional donation, is I will give you this money if you will vote this way on a bill. Or you vote a particular way on a bill, and then you receive a donation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of donation I think that people find offensive, and we need to make sure that we reduce that. And there are a number of ways we can do that. The donations to certain committees go up dramatically around the time those committees examine major pieces of legislation. For example, the Transportation Committee members received large donations right before the transportation bill was reviewed in committee. Those are the kinds of things that I think we have to look at and say, maybe you can't donate to anybody from in that committee for a period of 6 months or a year when they're considering a piece of legislation like that. But there can be reforms that minimize transactional giving.
Good ideas. Now, you said in the book that the House is only in session 111 days a year, which is pretty amazing. Talk about how you would change that, and what do you mean by restoring regular order?
I think that the House needs to meet more, and I think one of the things we could do is to meet, and I'm not suggesting for a minute that people don't work when they're not in session in D.C. There's a lot of work that gets done in districts, and it's very important work. But when we're in D.C., I think that meeting from Monday morning to Friday night, maybe even having a floor time on Saturday so that members have to stay in their in D.C. for a weekend or two a month would be beneficial. One of the ways that things get done, good things get done in D.C., is personal relationships are built and trust is created. And when everybody is flying home as soon as they can to get to their districts and meet with their constituents, which is important, some of that is taken away. So I think it would be beneficial to try to work a few weeks of the month where we're actually not just flying in on a Monday and flying out on a Friday, but actually working the full day.
You call for the inspectors general, which are currently in the cabinets, in the departments themselves, to report to Congress.
Right now, the inspector generals are appointed by the president, by the administration. They're supposed to be examining. They work under the same roof as the department that they are examining, which in some cases is good, in some cases bad. Their budgets are decided by the departments that they work for, and I think the Congress should not accept the recommendations of those departments, but rather do the funding. And then I think the inspector generals should report directly to Congress and not to the department heads that they report to.
You talk about what people can do. One of them is electing candidates of good character. How does that happen?
Well, it happens by individuals really getting involved in the campaign process, volunteering for a campaign, attending rallies, doing your best to learn what drives an individual to run for office. And if we have people of good character in Congress, the chances of them wanting to stay in the swamp too long or wanting to treat the swamp like a hot tub is a lot less. And so I would really encourage American citizens to closely examine those who are running for office. I know people are busy. They're raising families. They're working very hard. But if we get this wrong, our ability to dig out of this hole is going to be very hard.
Are you catching grief or anything for this book? I mean, you're an insider now, and you're critical of the leadership on both sides and on the culture and on the swamp. Are you taking a beating at all, or are people saying, boy, it's good to get this stuff coming out?
Well, I tell you, I didn't have any friends when I got to D.C. I'm not going to have any friends when I leave. And I am really convinced that my role in Washington, D.C. is to expose the corruption and to do my very best to fix this problem. I think if we have a better institution, we will have better results.
Are you term limiting yourself or anything?
I have not term limited myself, but I can tell you, given my friendships or lack of friendships and given my desire to change the system, I'm not planning on spending a lot of years in D.C., but I think when people term limit themselves, the people who are in favor of term limits leave, and the people who are opposed to term limits stay. And so it is a self-defeating process.
Are you optimistic that Speaker Ryan is going to do the right things over time?
I am. I think Paul Ryan's a great man. I really do. I've had the chance to get to know him, and he is incredibly bright, incredibly principled, and he is right now in a broken system, and I hope he will help fix the system and really help get the incentive structure changed, and that's what I think is so important.
One last thing quickly before we go. What was it like working for Dick Cheney?
He, great man. I worked for him in 1986, so several years ago, but he is a wonderful person, really bright, and I now sit next to his daughter on the Rules Committee, so that's a pleasure.
Wow. The generation's moving. Well, I want to thank Congressman Buck for his time. It looks like his motivation is definitely along the lines of anybody that supports draining the swamp, which takes a lot of courage if you're an inside. You've been listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Thanks to Congressman Ken Buck.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
One of the most powerful government offices you've never heard of, OIRA, the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, responsible for review of government regulations, costs, benefits, unintended consequences. We're going inside OIRA, plus President Trump's regulatory reform agenda. That's all today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. From 2007 through January of 2009, under President George W. Bush, Susan Dudley served as the administrator of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, which is a part of the Office of Management and Budget, better known as OMB. Currently, Professor Dudley is the director of the George Washington University Regulatory Studies Center. She's distinguished professor of practice in the Trachtenberg School of Public Policy and Public Administration. And I'm a big fan of GW. As I've told her, my daughter graduated in 07 when President Trachtenberg was still in office. And Susan has promised to make OIRA sexy this morning. How are you?
Great to be on the show with you, Jim.
It's our honor. As we said, this is the most important office you've never heard of, known as the Regulatory Czar. Tell us exactly what the function is and why it's so important.
Its function is to review not only regulations, but also any information requests that the government might have of citizens, statistics across the government, and they also coordinate internationally with other regulators overseas. And of course, in Canada and Mexico. It's important because maybe I should just back up and just quickly explain what regulations are. The legislative branch, of course, passes laws. So our elected officials pass the laws. But those laws delegate to regulatory agencies like the Department of Homeland Security or Transportation Security Administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Food and Drug Administration. They delegate responsibility for implementing those laws through regulations to those agencies. And it is those regulations that this office, OIRA, oversees.
Essentially, it goes from Congress to the agencies, and then it has to go through OIRA, right, for a more neutral, dispassionate view of the impact.
Yes. So OIRA is like other parts of OMB. OMB's it has responsibilities for on the budget. So OMB obviously coordinates the budget of independent each agency, and so no agency can go directly to Congress and say this is the budget they would like. They go through OMB, and it's coordinated. Management, the management and performance of agencies is coordinated through the on the management side of OMB. All legislative opinions, et cetera, also go through this. The OMB. So OIRA's role is like that of those other offices within OMB. It's to coordinate across the agencies, and as you said, and that was actually a phrase of President Obama's, that it provides a dispassionate and analytical second opinion on the agency's actions.
Is it required that the net benefits exceed the costs, or is that a hope?
That's a great question. So OIRA was actually formed in 1981, or actually it was created by the Paperwork Reduction Act signed by President Jimmy Carter in 1980. And its function under the Act, its legislative function, is to make sure that anytime the agencies or government agencies and departments request information from the public, that this office checks them and makes sure that it's necessary, not duplicative, and the least burdensome necessary. So, for example, on your tax forms, or anytime you fill out a form for the government, you'll see there's a little OMB number.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't have that number, you don't actually have to fill out that form. That's what the office was created for that. President Reagan, when he came into office in 1981, also added this new function, and that is to review all the draft regulations from the executive branch agencies. And in that review, he required them to do analysis, the agencies to conduct analysis to understand what the effects would be, regulatory impact analysis, including the benefits and the costs and an evaluation of different alternative ways of approaching it. These were requirements that previous presidents, Carter and even Nixon before him, had generally, but they didn't have this review mechanism to enforce them. President Clinton in 1993 changed some of the terms of it, but essentially kept those requirements the same. So it is that net benefit test. Let's look at every regulation, and especially for the bigger ones, the higher impact regulations, make sure that they provide more benefits than costs, or essentially do more good than harm.
I'm impressed, too, that both Republican and Democratic presidents have stuck with this on either side. Let me ask you this, lest we think this isn't that big a deal. I think you estimated that regulations cost $2 trillion. Is that a year or over 10-year period or something? But it's really a hidden tax.
Yes, people often call it a hidden tax because it is something that, unlike the on-budget, the cost of on-budget programs, we see that in the fiscal budget. We see it in our taxes. But regulations affect the price of goods and services, the salaries that you can get, and even what kinds of things that are available. And so it is hidden. That's actually, that $2 trillion is not my own estimate. I think it's so hard to do that we have not tried to estimate the cost. That is actually originally from the Small Business Administration. More recently updated by the National Association of Manufacturers using academics Mark and Nicole Crane. Another study done by the Mercatus Center, Bentley Coffey and Patrick McLaughlin, actually estimates $4 trillion a year.
Wow.
So they use different methods, and it's hard.
That's very hard. By the way, $4 trillion would be the entire size of the federal budget, wouldn't it?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
So it's like a double budget. Geez. Tell us, Susan, what you were administrator under the George W. Bush administration. I guess Josh Bolton would have been the OMB, would have been your boss, I guess, and then he was chief of staff. What was your focus then? What kind of an impact do you think you made?
I was the administrator in the last 2 years of the Bush administration, and my focus was mostly on wrapping up priorities and trying to ensure that we didn't issue too many midnight regulations. So there's this phenomena that you can document back to at least the 60s, that presidents at the end of the last few months of their term, especially after Election Day in their final year, there's a rapid uptick in regulatory activity if they try to hurry and finish their priorities. And I came in with 2 years left and tried to smooth that out and say, if we have priorities, focus on them now. I really don't want us to be issuing last-minute regulations that kind of tries to lock in the next president. And you asked me how successful I was?
Sure.
Not very.
But I think your stats, to be you're modest, your stats did show that they've gone down the midnight regs since then, right? Am I right on that? Or
I think we were somewhat successful in that we spread it out a little bit over the last year. So if you look at the post-election quarter between Election Day and when President Obama was inaugurated, there were way fewer regulations than the previous transition. But if you look over the year, in part, they were just spread longer over the year, which isn't a total failure, because I think that does mean that meant there was more methodical opportunity for evaluation, for the public had plenty of opportunity to comment and evaluate the regulations before they were put in place.
Since the function is looking across the government as opposed to all the silos, do you view yourself as taking on the special interests?
Yes. I think that's a key function of OIRA and the other parts of OMB. They have that cross-cutting perspective, so they can see the bigger picture and all the competing priorities for government resources. So I think a key role of OIRA is countering that tunnel vision and the influence of special interests.
In terms of bureaucracy, how long does it take OIRA to get one of these things through their system, approved or not approved, and out the door?
On average, OIRA review takes 60 days. Sometimes it's much quicker, and other times it can be very long. So that average can hide some reviews that last a year or even more. But in terms of the process from start to finish of the regulation, not just the OIRIS part, that's at least a year, because agencies do have to, they do some analysis, they develop their proposal with documentation on why, and then they have the OIRA review, which isn't just the OMB office reviewing. It is one of the things OIRA does is coordinate across government agencies. So agencies get to see each other's regulation, and it does help make sure that there isn't conflict or duplication. And then they need to seek public comment. So in the U.S., all regulations must go through public notice and comment. And then agencies have to respond to that public comment and develop a record that...
And I must say, you think of big bureaucracy, there's only 50 career officials or so in OMB. We've got about 30 seconds, so I know the Federal Register, which contains all these rules and regs, is 90,000 pages. There's 300,000 employees, I guess, involved in this. Should that all be shrunken rather significantly? Can it be?
That certainly is one of President Trump's goals, is to shrink that.
Good way to end it then, because that's where we're going next. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find a station closest to you. Listen over the Internet, access our podcast. We'll look at President Trump's regulatory reform agenda, an ambitious one, as soon as we get back.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769.
That's 855-325-1769.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-2130. That's 800-616-2130. 800-616-2130.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with former OIRA Administrator, Regulatory Czar Susan Dudley, now a professor at George Washington University. And I read, or Trump has claimed that within his first 100 days, his regulatory reform has already produced $18 billion of savings. I don't know how you feel about that, but tell us how serious about regulatory reform he is, and start off with, I guess, after that, with the one in, two out, what that means.
Okay. Yes, I've been studying regulation for a long time, and this presidential cycle, there has been more discussion of regulatory reform than I think I'd ever heard before, and President Trump in particular campaigned on cutting regulations. He made some quite dramatic claims about how much he would cut it. Anywhere between 75% and 90% of regulations.
Wow.
what he has done in his first 100 days, and I can maybe just divide it into two categories. One is, working with Congress, he has overturned 13 regulations that were issued at the end of President Obama's administration, using a statute that was passed in 1996, and only used once before. So, and we can talk about that more if you're interested. That's the Congressional Review Act. And then the second thing he's done is, through executive orders, he has directed agencies to offset the cost of new regulations by looking at old regulations and removing them. So his executive order requires agencies to eliminate two regulations for every new one they issue, and to make sure that the total cost of those new regulations is no more than the total cost of the regulations that are getting removed.
So essentially, he's capping increases in regulatory costs?
That's right.
Which is a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal. I actually think it is the most dramatic change in regulatory process since Ronald Reagan required agencies to submit regulations before they were issued to OIRA.
Let me ask you this. Does OIRA review executive orders, and would the immigration executive order have gone through OIRA, or should it have gone through for vetting?
OIRA does not review executive orders.
Okay.
Unless it's an executive order that is regulatory in nature. So I'm sure that they had a chance to look at these two regulatory at his regulatory executive orders, but they would not have reviewed that one.
They would not have seen that. Okay. I guess Trump is also calling for regulatory reform officers and regulatory reform task forces. What does that mean?
Yes, that's the second kind of cross-cutting executive order that he issued. So in every agency, he's required somebody to be designated as the regulatory reform officer and a task force of other agency staff that would be the regulatory reform task force. This, I think, is interesting, and it seems more important to me than I thought when I initially saw it, in that agencies are filled, you know, agencies have their mission, which is to find problems to address through regulation. So everyone in the agency is focused on finding the next, developing the next regulation. For the first time, there's going to be a group that is designated that is responsible for looking at existing regulations, seeing if they actually work, and finding which ones might be modified or eliminated.
I find it interesting that President Trump, of course, is making all these claims for progress, but here's an area where it seems very significant that is getting no press even from him. Who is going to head OIRA, right? Because there's not a head in there right now, is there?
There's not. There's an acting person, and the career staff at OIRA are just
Yeah.
You know, I just can't say enough good things about them. The OIRA administrator is a Senate-confirmed position, so the president has to nominate someone, and then the Senate needs to confirm them, as you would a judge or a department head. So he has announced his intention to nominate George Mason University law professor Naomi Rao. But her official nomination hasn't gone up, and, of course, she hasn't had her confirmation hearings and been confirmed yet.
What's her bent?
She's an administrative law professor, very well respected. She runs a center at George Mason Law School. It's actually now called the Antonin Scalia Law School, called Center for Study of the Administrative State. So she has a lot of experience, or she has a lot of academic knowledge. She also has worked in all three branches of government. She worked, she clerked for Justice Thomas and the Supreme Court. She worked on the Hill and was in the White House counsel's office in the Bush administration.
Interesting that you just went to the Center for Administrative State. I was going to ask, Steve Bannon has talked about deconstruction of the administrative state. Is this what OIRA is going to be about? Or
they focus on the net benefits of the regulation. How can we issue regulation that provides the most good for the cost? So I think one thing that OIRA will be doing in this administration is providing that function. So while they will definitely be needing to work with the agencies, and they'll be coordinating the regulatory offset and the two-for-one executive orders, but I think they will be doing so in a way that recognizes which regulations continue to provide benefits and which ones perhaps have outlived their usefulness.
And I think you called for this, and you said it hasn't really been calculated except maybe SBA. Should we have an accounting of the actual total compliance costs, its impact on the economy every year?
I actually think that's too hard to do.
Okay.
In part because some of these costs are just too hard to measure. So people have called for a full regulatory budget that is equivalent to the fiscal budget, and it sure would be valuable to have. I just don't think it can be done in a way that is principled or would even be informative as the fiscal budget.
Okay, last question as we get down. Do you feel that there's regulatory overreach? Did OIRA deals with that? And when there's a recommendation, for instance, to cut the EPA budget 30%, does somebody tie that back to how that would impact the regs and rules right now that are in there?
Well, that is one advantage of OIRA being part of the Office of Management and Budget, so that there is some coordination across the budget side of OMB and the regulatory side. I can't say what role they had in, you know, whether how much OIRA was involved in that, in that budget, the skinny budget that has come out. As you noted, it's a very small staff, and they not only have regulatory responsibility, but the chief statistician of the United States is part of OIRA, so all the statistical information goes through that office.
Wow.
So I don't know the extent that OIRA was involved in that.
Well, it's been a fascinating couple of segments, and you can see OIRA is actually a critical part of both the government and what looks like President Trump's strategies on the administrative state, thanks to George Washington University Professor Susan Dudley. Her website is regulatorystudies.gwu and .edu. And Trump administration's regulatory actions can be found at reginfo.gov. That's reginfo.gov. Thanks to Susan Dudley. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio,